It's time now for Optimal Health with Dr. Christopher Calipay. Dr. Calipay is an osteopathic physician, board certified in family practice and chelation therapy, anti-aging medicine. Dr. Calipay specializes in reconstructive and neurotherapy for chronic pain and musculoskeletal disorders. And he's achieved fellowship certification for stem cell therapy. Dr. Calipay's office number in Long Island is 516-794-0404. We will repeat that number throughout the show. Now, here's Dr. Christopher Calipay.
Welcome, friends, and thank you for tuning into the Optimal Health Program. I hope you're all doing well. As we get into this time of year, I have some funny conversations with patients. And as fall comes and people are dreading what they call the holidays in terms of losing their control over what they're going to eat, I always laugh and joke around about it and say, well, it's not every day that you have to eat completely off your diet or out of control. And of course, you can't really call Halloween a holiday. You don't have to eat the candy that, you know, your kids might bring home. And Thanksgiving, you don't have to overeat, you know. So in 2 months, there are only a few days that people typically would either overeat or eat too much carbohydrate. It's not 60 days worth. So every time I hear the word the holidays, and one of my patients said it the other day, I asked him exactly what does that mean. And, you know, I make a joke about it. But I'm not saying you can't have the foods that you like here and there. You just can't eat too much food or have too much carbohydrate consecutively. If you're doing well with your diet and your exercise, and you have a day or two that you miss, it's great. It's fine. It's not a big deal. You might even feel worse for it and then say, okay, now I'm going to go back to doing my diet. You might want to do extra exercise coming up to and in and around the days that you're going to be eating a little bit more. So as I've told people, you have to have a plan. So if your plan is to have one cheat day a week where you have pasta or something that's not on your plan, that's not going to affect you if all the other days are good. And if it's 3 or 4 days out of the month where your diet's not perfect, you'll still do fine. So we have to take the psychology of eating into account, you know, into perspective and be able to understand that as you start to do better and eat better and exercise, you'll feel better. You're more likely to stay with your diet plan. So it all has to be a plan, no matter what we're talking about. So my focus has always been to educate people. That's why I've done this radio program forever, it seems, since I was a young doctor starting out many years ago. Received my medical degree in 19, went to medical school from 82 to 86. And progressed through to my internship and residency, started my practice in 87, 88 at the end of that year, and have worked, as I describe, in a comprehensive medical nutritional approach since then, trying to get people to eat right, exercise, learn everything about your body, do the extra tests to understand what's happening, explain things to people, do lectures. And I've lectured a lot, and we're going to start the lecture series up again relatively soon. And the radio program, the website with all the information on it, has been probably the most amount of information that any doctor has ever imparted upon people or put for people to read and see and understand. Videos, of course, lots of videos, lots of articles. So I think an education is the most important part, first step of being healthy. So that's why I've always spent so much time on doing this. The phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so now, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. If you'd like to call in now, you could do so. Let's take a look at some of the great research that we talk about. Interesting comments on probiotics helping to reduce severity of childhood atopic dermatitis. And this is great research. You know, we've been talking about probiotics for such a long time. We know that the gut is a major starting point for a lot of inflammatory issues that occur in the body. So we can't ignore the gut. I mean, over years, most people do, and they eat what tastes good, and they typically will have too much or too much of this or that in the diet. They're not breaking down their foods well. They start to have some bloating. They'll take an antacid, et cetera. So they're really not where they need to be. And they don't understand that what they're doing and what's occurring in the gut can affect just about every other part of your body. It's the doorway into your body, as I describe it. So using probiotics helps to normalize or stabilize the gut. We do testing to determine if your body's breaking down your foods or making digestive enzymes and acid or not. And in a lot of people, that cyst situation needs to be corrected. A large percentage of people are allergic to foods or components of foods or chemicals in foods. So that could affect how your gut works. And maybe you're not absorbing vitamins because you have indigestion or bloating or stomach symptoms caused by a food. So we have to take all this into consideration. As we correct your gut, the rest of your body will do well. As we correct your gut, and you change your carbohydrate intake, you do some exercise, your body will feel better in a variety of ways. You can lose the weight you're trying to lose. And to that extent, to that point, just as I've been really thorough with doing the blood tests for people over all these years and looking at your vitamins, your minerals, your hormones, looking at the allergy mechanism, if we need to do cardiovascular, neurologic testing, we can do that, etc. We have a large knowledge base about you from doing this. Now, what I've done, is teamed up with a catering facility that is going to make low-carb foods for my patients. So out of every diet plan that's out there, there's nothing as specific as this because we do the big blood test. We look at your vitamins. We look at everything, your absorption, digestion. And then you could opt to buy foods from this meal plan. And we either fax or send your meal plan, the menu, into the catering facility, and they'll deliver food to you. So for those people who are having a very hard time losing weight and they can't figure out why, in many cases it's hormone decline, thyroid, DHEA, testosterone, etc. Or in many cases people are eating way too much carbohydrate and they don't realize it, or they're not absorbing and digesting. So this is the complete picture of what your body's doing and how we can get you to burn down the extra weight. And some people need to lose a few pounds and some people need to lose a lot more. But it's always an educational process, learning about your body and then fine-tuning things. You know, people say, well, how often do I have to come in? I say, well, I don't know. I'm not sure what you're dealing with yet. It just depends upon what we're trying to track or follow. If most of your blood test is good and we're just correcting your vitamins, we may have you come in a month after that to make sure levels are good and may see you 6 months later to retest these things. And we want you to document how you're doing day to day with your exercise, what you're eating. As soon as you can sort of get on the right train, we can watch and see all sorts of different things improve. So we want to teach people as well how to do that. Write down what you're eating for breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks. You did your exercise today? Great. Check it off on the sheet. Your symptoms are changing? Write down week to week how all of your symptoms are doing. And then you see your greatest results. Once again, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so now. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. And you can call in and ask a question. Remember, the things that you're thinking about are certainly on the minds of thousands or many thousands of other people that listen to the program. So we love to take your calls and chat. And I like to talk about a variety of different things per show. Years ago, I knew a doctor that would just do one topic per show, but unfortunately, it's very limiting. If you just wanted to talk about eye disorders or heart disorders or lung disorders, I think it's much more important, more interesting for people to call in with a variety of problems so we can learn as much as possible. Once again, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Give us a call and we'll get you up on the air. Omega-3 fatty acids are beneficial in helping with juvenile arthritis. And this is from Clinical Rheumatology, a peer-reviewed journal. It talks about juvenile idiopathic arthritis. These patients responded positively to omega-3 fatty acid supplementation. So we all know that the omega-3 fatty acids decrease some of the inflammatory prostaglandins and arachidonic acid. So it's nice to know that there's a pathway that these are working on. As an aside to this, I would also talk about using curcumin. Curcumin's got great anti-inflammatory effect. And I tell people that you want to have a capsule of curcumin with the milligrams of curcumin on the bottle, not just turmeric or curry. So you need to have, you know, clearly the amount of curcumin you're getting, not just turmeric, because you may not be getting enough curcumin with that, because there's no specific dosage if you're just taking random amounts of turmeric. So we want to have that curcumin there. And most people will take, you know, 1 to 2 capsules 2 to 3 times a day to be able to get some of the benefit with the anti-inflammatory effect. Also, curcumin's got some great anti-cancer effect as well. That's, you know, born out of a lot of medical research. We're also looking to see if the manufacturer can put together some CBD cannabinoid from hemp with their curcumin to get a double sort of boost in decreasing the inflammatory cascade. So these are things that are in the works. Of course, that cannabinoid has no THC in it, which you don't want or need, but the cannabinoid with the curcumin would be an excellent way to decrease the inflammatory cascade. And of course, I don't like to just hear say take this or that for your inflammation. We define your inflammation, we find the causes, change the causes, and you can use some of these nutrients, obviously, to your advantage. So to me, that makes the most sense. Phone lines are open if you'd like to call in, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222, and we'll get you up on the air. Another interesting meta-analysis, which would be multiple studies on omega-3 fatty acids treating bipolar disorder. We've been talking about this for a while because research has been coming out over many years about the benefits of the omega-3 fatty acids with brain function. This is from the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry, peer-reviewed journal. And they're talking about looking at a variety of studies, a variety of clinical trials, and the omega-3s and helping to improve brain function and decreasing some of the swings of bipolar disorder. Obviously, what used to be called cyclothymia or bipolar, you have mania and depression, hypomania. There are all sorts of different words for the same things. People feel really excited and sort of a little bit out of control with some of the things that they do once they're in that hyper mood. And some of them spend a great deal of money, and some of them do all sorts of things they wouldn't normally do. And then on the other end, when they go off the lower part, they get more depressed or anxious. So these results talk about the study for helping with omega-3 fatty acids with treating bipolar. Now, I think people that have depression episodes can have heavy metals creating that because the heavy metals can affect your neurotransmitters. I think a person can have low thyroid DHEA testosterone. We've seen this before. Proven it. I think there are people that have excess carbohydrate in the diet that when they release insulin and sugar drops down too low, they can have anxiety and depressive episodes. So we want to look at all the underlying causes so we can make a clear, you know, picture to see exactly what's going on. Okay, phone lines are open. First call, let's go to Artie in Staten Island. Hi there, how are you? How can I help you?
About 20 years ago, took some antibiotic, and it affected, she thinks, her stomach flora. She took it over prescription over several months approximately, and she just wants to know, she has maybe some digestive difficulty. She's midlife, about 50, 51 years old, and the question is, short of the Heidelberg test, what would you suggest? It's difficult to get to the office. What would you suggest?
It's hard for me to give you the ultimate recommendation without seeing what her deficiencies are in her digestive enzymes, those that break down proteins, carbohydrates, or fats. And as much as I like to say, here, take super-duper blah-blah-blah mix, it really doesn't work that way. If you're not making enough enzymes to break down the proteins, then you would need a little bit more of the protease, or fats would be lipase, amylase for starch. Hydrochloric acid, you need to learn, you know, get an idea about. And some people think that probiotics and digestive enzymes are the same thing. They're not. Mm-hmm. So probiotics are the things that help to stabilize the flora in the gut. Oh, so some people taking the probiotics would get some benefit there. Now, the question is there some underlying issue with, you know, a reaction to a food? Because some people taking the antibiotic starts to give them more of a symptom in their gut, but when we test those individuals, a lot of them have allergies to foods. We take those foods out, and all of a sudden, they've got 50% more benefit because we found that we can remove that food allergen. If you do a garden variety probiotic, you might get benefit, you might not. I don't know.
Anyway, that's been very helpful. As I say, my wife is able to eat most foods. Of course, I say, of course, she has some allergies to wheat. So she tries to avoid those.
That was the next thing I was going to talk about.
Sure.
You know, and this is a great question you bring up because more people that I see have these issues than not. So years ago, we didn't see as many people reacting to grains, and we were testing people allergy-wise for 30 years. So now we see much, much more reaction. We see many more reactions to the grains. And even so much so that when people tell me they have stomach problems, when I see them in consultation, I'll tell them for just the sake of discussion, just take the grains out of your diet for the next 2 weeks until I can see you and go over the blood work. And people will say, my stomach feels so much better. My bloating's gone. My skin is clearing up. My headaches are gone. My mood swings are changing. So,
sure. My wife does eat grains, but she typically eats low-fat and gluten-free bread. I don't know the exact brand.
Well, even gluten-free, a person still could react to the other components of the grain.
Yeah.
So some people go on gluten-free, and then when we skin test them, they show up having a reaction to wheat or et cetera, and we have to take the wheat out completely, not just gluten-free. So...
Sure, that all makes sense. Before I finish, I just want to say that my wife has a good appetite, typically, and one of the things she's tried to remove is as much salt and artificial sugar as possible in her diet.
Yeah.
Fairly successful, sir. The problem is that she does have to watch her carbs during the day. Not being an expert as you are, I wouldn't know exactly what that means. But
it's just a little bit of learning, that's all. So the things that, you know, typically we try to pull down out of the diet, if we're talking about carbs, you know, grains, fruit, because fruits are very high in sugar.
Oh.
Carrots, beets, you know, melon, rice, oatmeal, corn. So if we can look at the foods, and there are some great recipe books, there are great carbohydrate counter books that you can get. It's all about the glycemic index. Something that's high in the glycemic index breaks down to sugar very quickly. So anything that's got a lot of sugar in it is going to be an issue or a problem. And when you tend to pull those grains and sugars and things out, your body will burn your triglycerides quickly because you're not making lots of triglycerides because the sugar component's not there. People can burn down cholesterol. They can bring their weight down. They can have better memory or focus because when your body's burning fat as a primary fuel, your brain will do better. So a lot of good things happen when you kind of cut your carbs, and that's why the majority of diets in the world today are all low carb. I just like to make the diet specific to the person, where we learn about you first, put together the correction of your vitamins and minerals based upon your blood test, and put together correction of your diet based upon, you know, the allergy mechanism as well.
Well, thank you very much, Doctor. You've been most helpful, and I appreciate your...
You're very kind. Thank you.
Many times, sir. Bye.
Have a good day now. So, yeah, it's just, I mean, these are the things that we talk about all day with patients because everybody, you know, is sort of questioning whether or not, you know, their diet is causing problems. And in most cases, it is. Most people eat things that either are processed or overprocessed. A lot of people eat junk food because it's quick and fast and easy. A lot of people eat too much carb because it's easy to grab a bagel or to have a slice of pizza, et cetera, and then they kind of pay for it. So... the first and best step is to understand your body, see what's occurring. If you're allergic, great. We can work with that. Take those foods out of the diet. And your body will change. You know, I've seen this so many times, and I tell my patients, I hear myself saying the same sort of sentences over and over again because I've sort of created the easiest to understand comments for each of these areas. So I like to make things as clear as possible. And when we talk about allergy, it's a major issue. Much more so today than ever before. When we want people to track their symptoms and they start to watch what they're eating and they make a list down the left-hand column of a page as to what their symptoms are, and nobody does this on their own, really, and they start to say, wow, you know, I've kept the grains out for 2 weeks. My headaches have gone, and I don't have that stomach pain, you know. And then when I see the patients and we go over this, it's just more reinforcing because they're clearly watching their body now. You know, you live in your own skin, you live in your body, so when you're tracking this and you're looking at it and making notes, then everything becomes so evident for you, becomes so clear, because we're watching the progress. So that's really what a good medical nutritional approach should be all about. Learn about your body and then start to change, adapt, correct, and then within a month or so, recheck to make sure that those things that were abnormal are already changing. Whether it's your cholesterol, triglycerides, whether we're lowering the homocysteine, whether we're getting your vitamin levels up. It's all of these things, and that's why it's so important. 1-800-848-WABC, if you'd like to call in, do so now. 1-800-848-9222. As I've been saying, we've got some new videos on the website. A lovely lady who had some great results. She has COPD. A great gentleman who was diabetic, not diabetic any longer. He's one of the top videos on the right-hand corner of the three rows. And she is the top middle row lady with COPD, wasn't able to walk, you know, down the block to grocery shop. And she can, you can listen to her story. So I love the fact that people are so excited when they get their results, they want to tell their story. And this is what we do. We put them there for you to see. Nothing is better than really learning, listening to the personal comments these people make as to how much better they're doing. So, and I love the enthusiasm people have, because when they start to feel better, they're all in. You know, they say, wow, I've lost 10 pounds within the first or second week, and my bloating's gone, and my breathing's better, and my sugars are coming down. It just keeps people going and doing this and staying with the plan. Of course, they'll vary from it a little bit here or there, but it's not going to affect them much because they're doing so well, you know, the majority of the time. 1-800-848-WABC. If you'd like to call in, you could do so now. Let's see what else we have here with great research. A variety of vitamins are important in helping to metabolize cholesterol. And here in this country, we have more people that are overweight. I was citing a couple of studies that in 2016, I think it was the National Institutes of Health was talking about the childhood obesity, and that 1 in 5 children of school age are way overweight. And this is a problem. Now, all the vitamins are important. Chromium helps to make you feel a little bit less craving of the sugars. But all your vitamins and minerals are important for every part of your body. So with kids, you can't just say, you know, yeah, you can have all the candy you want, or have all the fruit you want, or have all the bread and pizza and pasta you want, because that creates problems. And then it hurts them much more so later on in life. We're seeing young kids that actually in their teens and 20s are starting to develop plaque in their blood vessels. So this is not a good scenario. I think years ago, people didn't realize that, you know, all these sugars were bad. And, you know, people would take their kid out for a treat of this or that, or have ice cream, and didn't think that it was an issue. But if you look at kids today, much more so than when I was younger, they're way too heavy. And they're ending up with medical problems. They're on medications. I just think it's the wrong way to go. I think we have to critically look at the diet and the exercise and start to fine-tune it. That's the only way to change childhood obesity. As well, if you look at what some of the kids eat for breakfast, it's cereal, it's gooey buns, it's, you know, soda, it's candy, it's pizza. It's just the extreme carbohydrate, you know, end of the range. I think that's bad. You know, and we know that. We see that. We have to start changing this and taking care of this. Phone lines are open once again, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so right now. And let's see what else we have here. CoQ10 and carnitine are great. And these help to give you energy. These help to help to stabilize your mitochondria, CoQ10 especially. So we, of course, want to do blood tests for these things. As with all the vitamins, the minerals, the fatty acids, and really put these things into place based upon what your body's requirements are. Okay, we've got a couple calls coming in. Let's go to Myrna. Hi there. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Thank you for the call.
Thank you for taking my call. So this is the first time I hear you.
You're welcome. Okay.
Program. Thank you. I'm calling you because I am 58 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I had a little bit of high blood pressure, so I was overweight, and I went on the ketogenic diet.
Yeah.
And I did that, and it worked like a charm. My blood pressure came down. My brain started remembering things I couldn't even remember.
Yep.
But then what happened was I went under a lot of stress because I have a disabled daughter,
mm-hmm.
and the stress I just started eating junk again. And honestly, I'm just so confused about what to eat and what to do and how to get back on it. And I just need help. And I was
The best. Let's talk about the psychology of eating as well. When people don't have a lot of stress, they can do their diet. They can do the exercise. When they get stressed, everything sort of goes by the wayside, and that's just normal because the stress response makes you feel lousy, and you want to eat something that you think, you know, satisfies your need for carbohydrate or sugar or, you know, whatever you like to eat. So that's when it becomes a problem. So I think the first step is to learn about your body, see what your hormone levels are, because at this age, your thyroid, your DHEA, even your testosterone is not going to be in the right range. IGF-1 is going to be low. And those things would help your body with energy and focus and fat burning and the ability to feel good when you work out. It's going to be great for mood. So once we do some simple blood testing and we show you how to go back to doing the low carbs, it doesn't have to be really super strict keto. Once you start doing the low carbs and you do some exercise every day, your body will continue to create result. And then not only will you start to feel that great brain function again, because when you keep the carbs out, your body's burning fat as a primary fuel. It's what your brain loves. I've told, and everybody that I've discussed the diet with has come back because I make them write down how they feel day to day. They say, wow, my memory was sharp, was focused. That's because the carbs are out of the picture, and the carbs are not requesting a lot of insulin, knocking your sugar down and making you feel groggy and tired and anxious and irritable. So we know what the carbs do when you take in too much and how much insulin you make. So it's really the best process is to learn about your body first and then correct all those things as you walk right through it, because then you'll stay on it. Then you'll continue it because you feel great and you'll feel less stress. You'll be able to handle stress better once your hormones and vitamins are in the right range. So
I would love to see you in person. Is there any way I can come see you?
Sure, of course. The office is in Garden City. The phone number is 516-794-0404.
Okay, I'm going to make an appointment. I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, just as we're talking now is what I'll say to you when you're there. I'll take a history, examine you, get your blood work done, give you a handout on low carb. I mean, we'll kind of put it all together so it becomes easy for you. You know, the key to any experience is education and knowledge. You know, knowledge is the key. So there's information you don't have right now, and that's kind of holding you back from understanding what to do. But as soon as you understand it, you're on. You know, you're on track, and you'll get a great result. And this is what we do for everybody, for virtually everything that they present with, everything they come in with. We teach them about why that's there and then create the change and create the improvement.
Well, I'm really excited. I'm looking forward to meeting you. I am going to come to your office because I know
great.
It works. Because when I was on that low carb, I cannot tell you the difference in my memory, my energy level. Everything was good, but then then this happened.
And I got to tell you, everywhere I've been throughout the world, people have low-carb diets. You know, go all over Europe, South America, there's no garbage, no junk food, there's no bread and pasta and all this stuff and pizza all day long. They may have some pasta. It's organic and it's not GMO, but everywhere you go, people are eating better than Americans here. It just doesn't make sense. So I think what happens is all the food companies try to influence people to eat all sorts of things, and then people, you know, lose their track. Where are you from? Are you from here?
I'm from Orange County, New York.
Okay. So realistically,
I'm going to come down, and I am going to, this is what I want to do. I want to do a YouTube channel, and I want to put, I'm coming to your office, and I'm going to put it out there.
Sounds great. Hey, look, I love it. You know, the more into it you get, the better. So I think it's great for people to track their symptoms, track their benefit. I like the whole idea of videotaping yourself or taking pictures of yourself. Whatever combination of things makes you psychologically more into this, I love. I think that's terrific.
Well, I like to help other people as well. Because
yeah,
a lot
of course.
People my age, they don't know. We think, oh, my God, I could never get my body back. But I saw my body actually transforming.
Of course.
With this diet. It was amazing.
Of course. Wait to see what happens when you fix all the other things that you aren't aware about yet. Then you really, you know, take off like a rocket. Yeah, we'd love to help you out. Look forward to seeing you. Have a wonderful day. Okay, phone lines are open. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Liz. How are you?
Hello?
Yes, how can I help you?
Hi. I was wondering what your recommendations are for a low-carb diet for vegetarians.
Well, vegetarians don't have the same, freedom with low carbs as people who can also have eggs or, you know, chicken or turkey or fish or et cetera. So I think some of the better things for people that are vegetarian to have would be lots of salads, cauliflower, broccoli, escarole, kale, kohlrabi. And there's lots of ways to make these things. And I've been talking about this for so long now, but I'll tell you, I go to my mom's house on the weekend, see my parents, and my nephew comes over, my sister comes over, and we just make up these recipes. We'll just take the zucchini slicing thing and, you know, make the zucchini into pasta and then cut that zucchini into appropriate size, you know, and then put a little olive oil and garlic in the pan. You can put the zucchini in there. You could put artichoke hearts, little tomatoes. You know, you could put a ton of things in there that are all vegetables that are not problematic for a vegetarian, and that taste great. Now, the other thing I talk about, because it's also the new rage, is cauliflower. Cauliflower has appeared on the scene everywhere now. You can take cauliflower and either saute it in a pan with garlic and olive oil, or you can cut it up into what looks like rice. And it's called riced cauliflower if you were to buy it in a good market or a store. And then you could also add things to that, slices of almond, artichoke hearts. You can put different things in for flavoring, you know, tomatoes. You know, the list goes on and on. Soy, some people like tempeh. I mean, there's so many things that you could do to flavor and change the taste of that. But also, it's filling. You know, you could make a good amount of it, and it's almost like a whole meal in one, you know, pot. You could put nuts in it. I mean, the list goes on and on. So those are the two things that, go ahead.
The concern is for vegetarians need to get adequate protein, and so many vegetarians will eat a lot of beans, like lentils, chickpeas, black beans, a variety of beans, which have a lot of fiber.
You can have some of those. It's just that if you have too much, it's going to make you produce too much insulin, that it's going to knock your sugar down. You're going to feel tired. So you can have amounts of those. I mean, we'd have to look at your blood test and your hormone levels to determine, and your exercise to determine how much of those, you know, beans and rice or some of those things you can combine and still gain your results. Because the majority of people that I see have anywhere between 100 to 200 or more grams of carbohydrate a day. And vegetarians typically do, because they have fruit and they'll have grains and they'll have et cetera. But I'm not saying you could never have lentils. I'm not saying you could never have potatoes or yams. Squash is great, of course. That's low carb comparatively. So we'd have to create a diet for you with the things that you like that are vegetarian, that are healthy for you, but giving you enough variation so you're not, you know, getting tired of it. But it is a little bit more work when you're vegetarian to do low carb. Do you have eggs at all?
I'm not really a vegetarian. I'm just very concerned about meat because of all the antibiotics that are used.
Well, antibiotics are probably the smallest component of things that are in chicken and steak. There's 75 or more chemicals in steak, and last time I looked, 65 or so in chicken. So antibiotics, part of it. There are things that are meant to keep the color of the meat looking good. There are things that are meant to prevent decay and degeneration. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Right. It so, seems so adulterated. I feel like you buy dried beans, at least you kind of know what you're getting. You know,
you'd like to think so, and I would say yes if you're getting organic. But look, there's research that says there's arsenic in rice and apples. So you have to be very careful what you buy and where you buy it. So it's a great point that you bring up. You know, we've got to really be specific and scrutinize the diet. I mean, it's one of the most important things we could do.
I think whatever's in the water gets into the food. So the lower down on the food chain and the less adulterants, probably the better. So my concern actually is meat I was really concerned with antibiotics and hormones in meat, but it's true. There are all those other chemicals.
Yeah. Fish, you know what? They don't even have names for the chemicals. Now, years ago, I bought a book because it was very interesting to me. It was talking about all the chemicals in foods. Now, you know what nitrates are like, nitrosamines in bacon, et cetera. But the majority of things that are chemicals put into food have no names. So it could be 1,2-dimethyl-3-ethyl, blah, 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 blah. You know, and it's got numbers and letters in it, and there's no name that you could kind of put to that. But when heated to X number of degrees temperature, it can be a toxic chemical. The book is written by Richard Lewis. I forget the name, but I think it's having something to do with chemicals in food. So you could look up how many chemicals are in beef or how many chemicals are in regular chicken. You'd be surprised to see the numbers of chemicals there. So yes, you should eat organically. And look, some people like to have organic eggs and organic chicken, and more often than not, those are the only proteins they have, and you know, they're close to being vegetarian, so they're happy. It's whatever makes you happy. And healthy.
Yeah, you just have to choose wisely.
Yeah, like the Indiana Jones movie, you have chosen wisely. Yeah, it just makes sense. You know, it's your life, it's your health. You got to do it. If you don't, you're missing the boat. But great comments. Thank you for your call. Okay, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you can do so right now. Don't wait for the end of the program. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Once again, if you'd like to look at the website, www.drcal.net. I think we have 17 or 18 videos on stem cell therapy there. 6, 7, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. 17. We have a few more coming up within the next week. Great information to look at. We have 2,000 articles up on the website. And the articles are studies on different things. Hundreds and hundreds of them over the past few years are on stem cell therapy. So that had been obviously one of the more fascinating topics for me and for my patients. So that's why we have so many of them there. If you go way back to some of the beginning of the articles, they talk about vitamin deficiency and problems, vitamins helping to improve conditions and medical problems, vitamins helping your immune system, vitamin C deficiency and risk of heart attack. So there are 2,000 great studies there, all peer-reviewed journals and excellent sources. But as I say, we keep adding to the knowledge base. We're in the process of trying to fine-tune and redo the website, but that's taking some time, and of course, it'll just be easier to read through everything. So it'll be a little while before we flip it over. Okay, phone lines are open, 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Flo in Yonkers. Hi there, how are you?
Oh, hello. I went to the dermatologist a little while ago for a red dot on my cheek. And when I went there, he said that it was on the surface and did a liquid nitrogen.
Okay.
I went back a couple of months ago, and he said that it's still there, but slightly smaller. And he wouldn't think of doing surgery on it, and just said that it would be a long time before it became a real problem. Is there anything, cream that you could recommend?
I mean, now, I'm certainly not a dermatologist, nor do I specialize in either surgical removal of, you know, spots on the face or the skin, or creams and such. Did he give it a name? Did he say that it looked like this, or did he give it a name?
It could be precancerous.
Well, I hate to tell you, but a lot of things dermatologists say could be precancerous, and they remove it, and they find out, there's no cancer there. So, how big is it?
It's tiny. It's just like a pin dot.
Yeah, so in other words, if you took a magic marker and you placed a little dot on your skin, it's very small like that, right?
Yes, and he put it through some kind of a magnifying glass to look how big it was first and how big it was now.
Mm-hmm. And it's smaller now?
He said it was very slightly smaller.
Well, if it's just a superficial thing and he used the liquid nitrogen and it's smaller, that's obviously to your advantage. I think the dangerous skin things are typically irregular-shaped, larger, like jigsaw puzzle markings on your skin. You know, those are more likely to be bad compared to a little pin dot, a red pin dot. So, I mean, you could go get a second opinion from another dermatologist. I guess this dermatologist didn't think there was any reason to have it removed, you know. I mean, some people will have them removed, and then there's no more problem. So there may be different ways they may do that, but again, if he feels that there's no major issue, then there really shouldn't be. And he couldn't find any other ones anywhere in your body?
No. But I did ask him, is there any kind of cream I could put on it in the meantime? And he recommended Immucode.
Hmm. First of all, I don't know what it is that he thinks it is, so I can't tell you what cream you should use for something that I know nothing of. I haven't seen it, so I can't tell you what I might think it is, but you might get a second opinion from another dermatologist and ask them what they think. And if you're worried about it, you could have a dermatologist remove it, and then they could look at it under the microscope, you know,
And how would they remove it?
Well, they'd have to do some sort of surgical procedure to remove the layers of that within your skin, and then your skin would heal back. I don't think it's big enough to have them, you know, excise it and then suture it, you know, stitch it. So if it's very small, they may just do a little bit of a shaving, and then they could look at that shaving the layers of your skin under a microscope and see what sort of cells are there.
It's funny you should mention shaving, because he mentioned, he says, I wouldn't do any shaving on it.
Well, even for cancers, doctors do the shaving. It's called Mohs surgery, which is the best way to see if you've removed the entire cancer. So that is one of the premier surgeries for skin cancers. So, again, you're asking me for information on something that I've never seen it. I don't know anything about. I probably will get a secondary opinion from another dermatologist to see what he says.
Could you tell me just what you think of IMIQUIMOD cream?
I don't know whether that would help you or not, because I don't know what you have. So you got to understand, you're asking me a question about something that I don't know about, so I can't give you guidance on that. I would see another derm. Thank you for your call. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so right now. You know, every medication has benefits and drawbacks. There may be some medications that some people would have a bad reaction to. There may be some medications that wouldn't work at all on people. For years, we've been talking about the technique of genetic testing to look to see how your body responds or breaks down medications. And for some people, there are medications you should never take because either your body can't handle or break them down, and that could cause a side effect or an issue. Or some medications your body won't work with. So that's why you can't give direct, you know, medication recommendations or comments, because I don't know if a person's going to react or be allergic to it. Typically, every time a doctor makes a recommendation, it's his best suggestion or guess that that's going to help whatever you have, whether it's a skin problem, cholesterol, high blood pressure, diabetes, any of these things. And only after being on it will he see, okay, well, you're doing better, and that's why he may continue on the medication. I'd rather know everything about your body, change the underlying causes, and maybe avoid the medication. And if a person comes in with high blood pressure or some major issue and we do give the medication just to help them out in the short term, we're going to change all the underlying causes so that at some point when that mechanism has changed, they may not need the medication anymore. Case in point, we see people come in with high blood pressure all the time, and they're very overweight. And as we do the comprehensive nutritional evaluation, some of them we put on our new low-carb meal plan, they lose the weight, pressure comes back down, we get them off the meds. So we have to constantly look at your body to see how it's doing. First, understand it completely, then make recommendations, then recheck within the month. You show me your notes week to week as to how much better you're doing with all your symptoms. We document that. We continue, and we just, you know, adjust accordingly. And that's the best and the safest way to do it, because we're getting information from you all the time. That's the key. You're the person that needs to document your improvements so that we can understand that what we've done has worked. Once again, phone lines are open, 1-800-848-WABC. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so right now, 1-800-848-9222. And we'll get you up on the air. Dietary fiber and vitamin C intake correlate with lower oxidative stress in young adults. Now, of course, vitamin C is an amazing antioxidant. So it binds to and blocks free radicals from causing oxidative damage. And taking vitamin C, and of course there's a lot of other antioxidant vitamins, multivitamins, beta-carotene, you know, vitamin D, CoQ10, etc., but taking vitamin C as well with dietary fiber helps to decrease oxidative stress. There are a lot of different blood markers of oxidative stress, oxidated LDL, bad cholesterol, total antioxidant capacity. So as you put into your body what your body has requirement for, and everybody's different, you know, there may be, out of 100 people, some might need more vitamin C than others. Some need more D. Some need more magnesium, potassium, calcium. So that's why we do the testing to determine what your needs are and to correct them. That's the smartest way to keep your body in the best shape. And taking nutrients will maximize your body's healing, strength. You know, there's tons of studies, hundreds of thousands, that talk about nutrients decreasing the risk of heart disease, decreasing the risk of cancer. The literature's there. Typically, I'll go to scholar.google to run through there and look at all the great research on different topics. So Okay, phone lines are open. 1-800-848-WABC. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, you could do so now. Let's go to David in Jersey City. Hi there, how are you?
Hello, Dr. Cal. I had a doctor recommend that I get a pneumonia shot, and I was wondering about your opinion about that.
It's hard to say. You know, when you look at a lot of the research on the flu shot, and even studies that were produced that came out a couple of years ago in peer-reviewed journals, and then even I saw it pop up in Newsday, of all places, they said that the flu shot was only beneficial for 6% of the people above age 65.
Right.
Sometimes I wonder, well, how do they know what flu is here this year? Because nobody knows yet. And how do they have, you know, so many million bottles of flu shot to give people?
Right.
You know, and there are lots of types of pneumonia. So how many different types of pneumonia might that pneumonia shot cover? I'd rather get people to eat right, exercise, get their vitamin levels in the perfect range, you know, get them healthy otherwise.
Right.
And I'm not saying you can do whatever you like, you know. I just would rather maximize your health in a ton of ways and get you healthy. And those, my patients who have done that, don't get sick, don't get the colds, don't get the flu, don't get the things that a lot of people that are not as healthy get.
So, is there any controversy about the pneumonia vaccine as opposed to the flu?
Well, I think any of the vaccines can have side effects. You could look that up easily, you know, on the internet. And there are some people that get the flu shot that even have a temporary paralyzing disorder, Guillain-Barré syndrome. I mean, I think that aluminum and mercury that are in the vaccines as preservatives create problems. So I think you got to look at that. And you could look up online, how is a flu shot made? How is a pneumonia shot made? What's in the pneumonia shot? You know, you got to kind of, you know, be aware of that.
Be proactive, yeah.
Yeah, the more you learn, the better. I mean, knowledge is the greatest thing on earth. So the more knowledge you have, the better. I would look that up. I would, you know, type into Google, how is the flu shot made? What's in a flu shot? What are the side effects of a flu shot? Same thing for pneumonia shot. You know?
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you for your call. Okay, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in now to ask a question, don't wait for the end of the program. We're kind of moving towards that, but we have some time. We can take a bunch of calls. So give us a call, 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go next to Barbara. Hi there. How are you?
Okay, how are you, Dr. Calipay?
Great.
I have two questions. I have a dermatologist wants me, has me taking terbinafine hydrochloride tablets because he said I have a fungal condition on my lower legs, and I also have two nails that have fungus.
Okay.
And it does seem like it's helped, but it has caused me to have diarrhea, which is one of the side effects.
Yeah, any medication can cause diarrhea, especially if it's meant to kill a fungus, a bacteria, a virus. So that's not unusual. So you might back down and do it a little bit less often. So instead of every day, you might do it every other day and see if the symptom goes away. Fungal organisms are hard to kill, you know. It typically means your immune system is not, you know, strong in that area of killing an organism that could very easily get to your skin between your toes, fungal infections of the nails on the side of the legs. As we get older, our circulation changes, and we're not getting a lot of good, hot, warm blood flow and with vitamins, minerals, and hormones and immune response to our extremities. That's why these things happen.
Okay.
People that are diabetic get these things all the time because they have excess sugar floating around, and that's what the fungal creatures love to live off of.
Okay, I am fully aware of how much sugar I'm eating. I try to be extremely careful.
Yeah, because while you're taking a medication to try to kill the bug, if you're eating a good amount of sugar, you're feeding the bug.
Yes. Okay, and do you think possibly even take it's to take it one a day? But I'm wondering maybe if they broke it in half and take it one.
Yeah, or take it every other day.
Uh huh.
Just to see if you can minimize that symptom. Now I can tell you there's a whole host of things that are supposed to be good for fungus, and you know I've had patients that have come in and they tell me all sorts of things, and that could work too. Some people have used oil of oregano on their toenails. Of course, it might work. And I've seen people that said it cleared up their fungal nail infection. They didn't use the antifungal. Of course, just walk around smelling like a pizza, but that's okay. There are other people that use coconut oil, that might use tea tree oil. You know, there are lots of different non-medication things that people have tried. And I'm not saying you can't try that. You just got to look at, you know, some research just to see that there is something that says, you know, we did a study and we saw that this product helped with fungal infection of the nails or of the skin.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the diet's more important than you realize. I would be really tight with the diet and get rid of the sugars.
Okay. I will see the dermatologist tomorrow, and do you think I should ask him if there's another a different pill he would recommend? Or
you could. I think you should have a great conversation with any doctor you have, and I think everybody should have great conversations with their doctor, not be afraid to ask something. Say, hey, this pill's giving me diarrhea. Can I do it every other day for a few days? Or is there a different pill that I could take? Or is there a different way to do it? One of the drugs that's used is called Sporinox, and that typically came in a pack where you'd use it, you know, for a week, and then you're off it for 3 weeks, and use it for a week again, off it for 3 weeks. So, you know, there are different ways to do that, and the doctor could explain that to you.
Okay. I am taking probiotics, and I try to take them several times a day.
Good. That makes sense.
If I can ask another question.
Sure.
I had a blood allergy test 6 years ago. And it showed I was allergic to various foods. Do you recommend having allergy tests every so often? Because
yes,
you know, in case you're not allergic.
Because your body can change, number one. And when you avoid certain things, your body will decrease the antibody binding to them. But other things can pop up down the road. And we've seen people that have allergies, you know, either genetically or their allergic constitution. You know, some people year to year, they weren't allergic to something before. Now they're allergic to something that they hadn't had a problem with before. I mean, your body changes. And I don't really love the blood test for allergy because the blood test is only looking at a little bit of blood that goes into the needle, into the tube for 3 or 4 seconds. So that can't tell you every antibody that's floating around in all of your body. That's why they have false negative results with blood tests. And with scratch or prick tests on the forearm or the back, you can have false negatives where you're just scratching the surface of the skin or pricking the surface of the skin, and you're not really meeting the antibodies a little bit deeper in. So the gold standard has always been the intradermal test, where you take a small needle and raise a little wheel, a little liquid bump in your skin, and you wait 15 minutes to see if it reacts. So not only can we only do intradermal, really, but if the first skin test is negative, we might put a second dose or a third dose on. And if all three are negative, you're negative. If the second one's positive, you're positive. So that might be a food that you would avoid, or that might be an allergen that you do desensitization for.
I mean, the intradermal test, is that you do it specifically for one food at a time? Or?
Well, you can put 5 or 10 different foods on your arm. You put one tiny dose of each of those things and see if you react. If you don't, then you might put a second dose on. But whatever you react to, even if we have a tiny dose on, which is diluted 4 times from the concentrate we get from the manufacturer, so it's very weak, we obviously want to start you with a very weak dose because I don't know how allergic people are until we start looking. But if you react to the first dose, you got to take that food out. It's a positive.
Oh. And how often do you recommend? Every 2 years or something?
No, I would probably. It also depends upon symptoms. Some people that take a handful of foods out, they have no symptoms, they're doing great. You may not do it for a few years. But people that occasionally come back and say, hey, it's been a year and I have some stomach issues, you know, we might retest. It really depends upon patient's presentation. Everything depends upon what you say when we sit down and chat. You know? And I want you to keep a good list, a running list of your symptoms. And if you're avoiding the food, how much better you feel. You bring it back in. You know, a month or two later, it causes a problem, take it back out again. You bring it back in 2 months later, and you're not having a reaction, then have it once a week, not more than twice a week. So there's a whole conversation we'll have about this. Friends, thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening. God bless you all. The phone number for the Garden City office is 516-794-0404. Plainview is 516-433-3232. The website, drcal.net.